Coming up next, Astrological Metaphysical Radio.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Maurus, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative.
And a hearty good afternoon to you, Southern California. Almost said Southern Michigan or Southern Maine, South Dakota. No, if it's Wednesday, it must be Southern California. I'm Farley Maurus, and welcome to the Astrology Hour Day on KFOX. We have another show coming up today at 3 p.m. on Crystals, a rebroadcast of Friday's excellent show, which I think should be exciting for you, hopefully exciting for you. And today, I have an ambitious topic. Let's see what it's called. T-squares, grand squares, grand crosses, grand trines, and fingers of God. How's that for a first-time topic, huh? Well, today is an advanced show, and if you are a person that doesn't know much about astrology, then you should probably record this show and save it. This show is a gift for those of you that do know pretty much about astrology, because we're talking about aspects, and we're talking about advanced aspect configurations, almost magical configurations, when we have stronger aspects, which sometimes mean that we're dealing with a soul that's trying to either manifest or experience a lot more karma than the rest of us. Usually, when you're born with aspects like T-squares, grand crosses, grand trines, and fingers of God in your chart, you're usually trying to take care of more than just one lifetime in a particular life cycle. It usually means that what I call it is in you're in some kind of karmic hurry or karmic rush to be faced up with major lessons, major experiences. I do find that the stronger people that I have met, like my mother, who has a grand square and a grand cross, and two grand trines, like my father, who has a grand trine, like one of my best friends in the universe, Roger Reinhardt, who has a grand square and a grand cross, and two grand trines. In fact, they make a Star of David in his chart. I do find that these are very, very powerful souls and very, very powerful personalities. Even though I am void of any of these magnificent aspects, I do find that people that I am attracted to, like Bruce Berman also, who has a grand trine in his chart. Seems like all the people that are really close to me have grand squares or grand crosses or grand trines. Well, what we're going to do today is we're going to identify to you what a T-square is, what a grand square is, what a grand cross, a grand trine, and a finger of God is. We're going to help you color in your aspects in your natal chart, and that way you can try to find and see if you have any of these aspects in your chart. Then I'm going to try to describe to you what they mean. Now, if you know that you have one of these aspects in your chart, a T-square, a grand square, a grand cross, a grand trine, or a finger of God, then I welcome you to participate in today's show. Now, let's get into these aspects. First of all, grab your astroscopes and get them out in front of you. That's what this show is all about. We need to look at your astroscope to really figure out what we're talking about today. First thing I want you to do is I want you to fill in your aspects in color. Now, if you haven't done your homework yet, then you probably haven't labeled your planets. And you'll notice on the first page of your astroscope, on the wheel, on the bottom of the chart, it says right there, abbreviations. And what that means is you should have taken the time when you have nothing else to do except maybe watch a soap or something, and fill in all your planets and all the signs with all the abbreviations from the bottom fit in the chart. And basically what you're going to discover is you're going to discover that planets live in signs, and they also live there by location or by degree. For example, it says SU18LE52 on my chart, which means SU is the sun, 18, the first number is always the degree of the sign. LE is in Leo, and 52 is the minute of degree. There's 60 minutes in each degree. There's 30 degrees in each sign. So what I want you to do, number one, is fill in all your planets and all your signs. Number two, what you have to do is look at the third page of your astroscope, and it says planetary aspects. And what I want you to do now is find these aspects in your chart. Like, for example, if it says that your sun is square your moon, then what you do is you look at the sun on the first page wheel, and you underline all your planets, first of all, Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, and your rising sign or ascendant. You underline all that stuff. And then you take your aspects one at a time, the sun square the moon, first of all, squares are designated by a red line, a red felt-tip pen. So you can go ahead and take a felt-tip marker and connect. I like to connect from the underlined planet, the right side of that underlined point of one planet to the right side of the other planet, a red line. So now you can see the sun square moon aspect that is in red. My next aspect is Mercury square moon. So I find Mercury and I'll connect another red line to my moon. Then I have a Pluto square moon. So I'll connect Pluto to the moon. And then I have a Saturn square moon. So I'll connect Saturn to the moon. So I have my four squares from Sun, Mercury, Pluto, and Saturn now all drawn to my moon. So it's quite obvious where the squares to my moon are in the chart. You can actually see the energy. So squares are always red. So what you have to do is find the planets that are shown in the aspect list and connect the squares with red lines. Now let's look at my trines. Trines are in a bright blue felt tip pen. And what you want to do, I have a Sun trine Jupiter. Once again, I'm going to find that Sun again and connect that blue line to my Jupiter. And then I have a Mercury trine Jupiter. I'm going to connect a blue line to that. And I have a Pluto trine Jupiter, another blue line, and I have a Saturn trine Jupiter. There. So that's all my trines. I only have four trines in my chart, so they're the four Jupiter trines that I love. So I can see my belt of red and my belt of blue, so my squares and trines are fully obvious to me. And then I have one other square. It's Venus square Neptune, so I'm going to connect a red line from Venus to Neptune. And then sextiles are in green. So what you do is you find all your sextiles and you connect them all in a green felt tip pen. Got that. Now there's no color for conjunctions. You just put a little zero next to the conjunction and a slash right through that zero where 1 o'clock would be. And that's what a conjunction symbol looks like. It's colorless. So trines are blue, squares are red, sextiles are green, and then oppositions are bright orange and usually pretty thick. I don't have any oppositions, but if you do, you find something like a Mercury opposition Saturn, you want to draw an orange line right through your name. It's going to go right through the center, a bright orange line. Now, when you're finished drawing all these aspects, which I expect you all to do either today or tomorrow as homework, you know, people are going, right, Farley, we've got a career to live up to here. So do I. But anyway, when you're finished connecting all these aspects, you're going to notice certain geometrical patterns. Like you might find that as you're drawing your trines, for example, that you'll have three planets trine each other that make a perfect triangle. Like let's say, for example, I had a planet in Aries, which is a fire sign. Let's say I had a planet like my moon in Aries at 18 degrees. And that moon would be trine my sun in Leo, so that's a blue line. And my Leo sun is trine my Jupiter in Sag, that's a blue line. And then my Jupiter in Sag would be trine that moon again in Aries. The three fire elements would trine each other. Now that is called a grand trine. And it's very, very special because people that have grand trines in their chart, that means that you did something tremendously dharmic in a past life. We don't have people born with grand trines by accident. A famous grand trine, just to let you know, would be John F. Kennedy. And usually people that have grand trines, like my mother, like my father, like my two best friends, Bruce and Roger, these are people that offer knowledge and wisdom. Sometimes they're aware of it, and sometimes they're not aware of it. Now, it doesn't mean that all people with grand trines are good, because people with grand trines can have so much power and can be really blessed in a certain instance without realizing it. Somehow they're taken care of, it seems, right, by God or whatever. And these people, they can also blow their dharma. When you come in life with a grand trine, you can be very lazy, or you can be president, like John F. Kennedy. So having a grand trine is a very, very powerful aspect, and it's fun because if you meet somebody with a grand trine and one of your planets sits on one of their angle parts of that trine, then their chart grand trines your chart, which is wonderful for relationships. Obviously, they're going to make you have a good time. That's why when I'm with my friend Roger, my planets sit on all of his grand trines, so we have a great time. Same with Bruce and my mom and dad, too. All their grand trines light up my chart. So that's one part. That is really one of the better aspects I have seen. Not everybody has it, and if you find it, you know, you want to really make that triangle really bright when you connect those three points. Let's say you're looking at your chart and you find that four planets in your chart are square each other. And by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry. I keep telling you to get your astroscope, to get the suggested reading, to pick up the study guide that comes with the astroscope and study it, so you can learn about these aspects. That's why this show is advanced. So some people are going to be left behind here, but the advanced students are really going to love this. But let's say you have four planets in your chart that are square each other, and that square happens to make a perfect box. Let's give you an example. Let's say you have a planet in Capricorn at 10 degrees, Mercury, And you have a planet in Aries at 10 degrees, the moon. And this is plus or minus 8, because there's always an orb when it comes to any of these aspects. Then you have a planet in another cardinal sign, Cancer, your sun, at 8 degrees. And then you have a planet in Libra. Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, also at 10 degrees. The four cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, happen to square each other. Aries squares Cancer, which squares Libra, which squares Capricorn, and Capricorn squares Aries again. So that would be called a grand cardinal square. Now, you know, having one square, as you know, can be insecure, it can be karma with the self, it can be defeatism or depression, or being way too obsessed. But when you have four squares, and like I said, a lot of people I know who already have grand trines, like my mother and like my pal Roger, they also have grand squares in their chart too. And notice that the square is so evenly boxed, when you get that box of four planets square each other, that you can also draw a nice cross in the middle, because the ends of each square will oppose each other also. So when you get a grand square, you get the bonus of having a grand cross, which is a double opposition at the same time. Again, I want to make this clear. We have a planet in Aries, a planet in Cancer, a planet in Libra, and a planet in Capricorn, and they all square each other and make a nice red box. And then the planet in Aries is in opposition to the planet in Libra, and the planet in Cancer is in opposition to the planet in Capricorn, and that makes a nice orange cross. So that is called a grand square and a grand cross. Now, obviously, if you have this incredibly intense aspect in your chart, and you can either have a fixed grand square and grand cross if the four points are in the fixed signs of Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio, or you can have a cardinal grand square and grand cross if it's in, like I said, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. Or you can have a mutable grand square and grand cross if the four points are in Gemini, Sag, Virgo, and Pisces. But obviously, these people were naughty. They did something bad in some past lives here. And like I say, they have come back in this life cycle to probably make up for many past lives all in one. And you will find people with grand squares and grand crosses in their chart to be some of the more powerful people you'll ever meet in the world. Our senators, our congressmen, our show business people, kings, presidents, queens, leaders of corporations, you better believe these are people that have so much power that they can literally run over everybody else. So a grand square and a grand cross is a major karmic responsibility, because you have so much power, and usually there's so much fear accompanied with this aspect, that if you don't adhere to a karmic absolution and adhere to spiritual growth, what you can become is a dictator or a dogmatic individual, a stubborn, closed-minded, manipulating individual that can be very, very sad. Or you can be a wonderful teacher as the option choice. Now we're going to continue more and talk about T-squares, grand squares, grand crosses, grand trines, and fingers of God, a topic we've never done on the Astrology Hour. Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to the Wednesday edition of Astrological Metaphysical Radio, an advanced topic, T-squares, grand crosses, grand trines, and fingers of God. Sometimes I wish I had a grand trine, but I'm glad I don't have any of the rest for some reason. Four squares on my moon is enough, thank you. Okay, this is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative, where you can hear Astrological Metaphysical Radio. Weekdays at 12 noon, an outstanding show coming up this afternoon at 3 p.m., a rebroadcast of our excellent show Friday on crystals, which is something you're going to want to learn about. Okay, so we've talked about the grand trine, and we've talked about the grand square and the grand cross. One more comment on that. If you know somebody with a grand square and a grand cross, first of all, have patience with them, because they're usually very intense and very powerful. Fixed grand squares and grand crosses can be so stubborn that it can borderline the obnoxious if they don't know what they've got and what to do with it. So the secret to overcome and absolve karma with a fixed grand square and grand cross, the Leo, Aquarius, Scorpio, Taurus sector, is to be humble, be giving, be selfless, be generous, be caring, be cooperative, and try not to dominate. The cardinal grand square and grand cross, Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, is like a freight train. Sometimes a freight train to hell if you're not careful there. But still, these people are so energetic and have so much nervous energy that they don't know what to do with it. They want everything. They want relationships. They want career. Notice the four parts of Aries, Cancer, Capricorn, and Libra. Aries is the self, me, 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 me. Cancer is the home, I want a house. Libra is relationships, I want to be married. And also Capricorn is career, I want to be famous. So people with grand squares and grand crosses have those four, I want, and sometimes everybody gets in the way. And the finer point of the grand square and the grand cross in the cardinals is somebody that will do more for other people than for themselves. And then there's the mutable grand square and grand cross, the Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, Sag, four-pointed grand square and grand cross, which can be very confused and too open-minded and too manipulated. And notice that the Pisces is like, I don't like myself because of all the stress on the negative side. The Virgo is too self-critical and too other-critical. The Gemini is mental anxiety overload. And the Sag is, I need to be free, but I don't know what to do to free myself. So the finer points of the grand square and the grand cross and the mutable signs is to be assertive, be direct, be confident, be optimistic, and use affirmations. Do you have a grand square and a grand cross in the mutables? We have a pal in the studio here, one of our winners, who's incognito. Actually, Sonia, the one who gets lunch with Farley. We have to find some place to eat afterwards. We're going to do that because the pier's been destroyed. But anyway, so that's the grand square and the grand cross. Now, on a T-square is half of a grand square and a grand cross. That means that you're missing one of the four points of the square. Is that clear? Like, let's say you have Mars in Capricorn at 15, and then you have Venus in Aries at 15, and then you have Moon in Libra at 15. And that way, what happens is the Venus in Aries and the Moon or Libra are in opposition to each other, right? So they get an orange line. And then Venus in Aries is square Mars in Capricorn, and then the Moon in Libra is also square Mars in Capricorn. So Mars gets a square from both planets that are on opposition to each other, and that is called a T-square. Not quite as intense as a grand square, but still intense. Because let's say you meet somebody that has the remaining leg, the Cancer part, and their chart will light up your chart from a T-square and make the relationship connection, the grand square, grand cross. That's when you know it's karma time. It should be a new quiz show starring Farley Malaris. Welcome to Karma Time. Over here we have a lady who's got a T-square and a gentleman who lights up her chart to a grand square, grand cross. But anyway, the T-square is interesting. And you know what's fun about these big major patterns is that you may not have any of these in your natal chart, but when you aspect your chart to another person's chart in relationship compatibility, aha, you might find that in the relationship there's a grand trine between you, or a grand square and a grand cross between you, or a T-square between you. And that's when you really feel the karma or the dharma that's involved with that configuration. Obviously, a woman with a T-square on her Mars, right, or a man with a T-square or a grand square and a grand cross on his Venus are going to be born to experience tremendous karmic growth from you-got-it relationships. Gay men and heterosexual women with T-squares and grand squares on their Mars, can you imagine for a second, if you're a man or a woman with Venus or Mars with a T-square on it, or a grand square, and on top of that, a grand trine. We are talking about a major circus roller coaster here, right? Because the grand trine brings people into your life, and the grand square or the T-square tests the dickens out of it. It's like, oh, what have I created for myself? I wanted to have a relationship with, let's say, Morgan Fairchild, and wow, I finally got it. Now what? You know, this is really a heavy responsibility. And that's what happens to people that have grand trines and grand squares on one single planet. They definitely live life to the fullest. We're talking about major dramatic situations here. And then finally, there's the finger of God. And this is an aspect we don't talk about too much. It's an aspect that is not shown in the astroscope. You have to find it yourself. And in conjunct, also called a quinx, Q-U-I-N-C-U-N-X, which is synonymous with the word in conjunct, I-N-C-O-N-J-U-N-C-T. It occurs when one planet is five full signs or 150 degrees away from another planet. We call this an alien aspect. For example, Scorpio and Aries in conjunct each other, and then Sag and Taurus in conjunct each other, and then Capricorn and Gemini will in conjunct each other. Let's say you have a planet at five Capricorn and a planet at five Gemini, then that's an in conjunct or a quinx. Now, the orb here is much smaller. It's only 2 to 3 degrees. So you have to be very special to earn this in-conjunct or quinx aspect. See, they're hard to get. I don't have any. And usually, the energy here means that there are two planets in your chart that have absolutely no relationship to each other at all. In fact, it's like a water and oil combination. It can breed confusion and karma concerning guilt feelings that are laid on you either by yourself or from other people. Being made to feel the victim of something or being made to feel like you've done something wrong. Now, If you do find that you have a quinx in your chart, congratulations, you identify that by a yellow line. But let's say that you have a planet in Scorpio, right? Let's put this down. Then you have a planet in Capricorn, right? And then you have a planet in Gemini, okay? It just so happens that Gemini in conjuncts Capricorn and Scorpio in conjuncts Gemini. So you get two in conjuncts, one from Scorpio, one from Capricorn, into that Gemini planet are two yellow lines, and that is called a finger of God. And that is a very heavy karmic aspect, because we are talking about people that either are victimized, feel victimized, are guilty, or feel guilty with situations because there's too much confusion and too much energy that is alien to what is going on in the situation. One quinx is hard enough to absolve, but to have two in conjunction to one planet, that's a finger of God, and that can also be either a total jerk person or a wonderful spiritual teacher. Every one of these patterns here can create the devil or the angel in an individual, and that's why people choose this. That's why people's soul, the path of their soul, leads them to this type of experience, because they choose very intense patterns in their chart. So if you're in a relationship and you have your Mars in a finger of God aspect to somebody that you know in the relationship, then good luck, because you're talking about a major karmic relationship. There's your topic. T-squares, grand crosses, grand trines, fingers of God. And I didn't think I could cover it in the time allotted, but because we're greyhounds around here, we did it.